I am Rose Fernandez, the reform candidate for state superintendent. I have put the serving the needs of children first my entire life. By training, I am a pediatric nurse. I spent my career at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin and have experience in hospital administration there at one of the leading academic pediatric medical centers in the country. I manage the emergency department trauma center there. And most recently was here in the Capitol with a coalition of parents and teachers and administrators fighting to protect some of our charter schools that the state teacher union, WEAC, had attacked, and DPI had joined them to fight to close. We stood up for those schools and successfully saw a bipartisan compromise go to the governor, and he signed it last spring, and those schools are thriving now. That work with that network of families and teachers around the state has led us to continue to put children first in this campaign. A lot of experts didn't expect us to be here today, given the fact that we were outspent by such a vast amount. My being here is a testament to hard work, old-fashioned grassroots campaigning, but really it's a testament to our mission of change away from the status quo. This is an exciting opportunity to change business as usual in Madison. I'm not part of the status quo. I'm not going to merely listen to a select group of special interests who have been at war with each other over educational issues for decades. I intend to listen to and be the public voice for all in Wisconsin who support fiscally sound policies that encourage and promote educational excellence. Pouring more money at a problem doesn't automatically solve it. That's true in business, in government, and in public schools. The decisions we face center around not just investment in education, it's about the return on that investment. And we can and must expect better outcomes for what we are already spending. While WEAC spent upwards of $200,000 to get their chosen candidate through the primary, my campaign spent less than $20,000 and relied on an informative website, traditional hard work, and citizen-to-citizen contact. Voters will have a clear contrast come April. I want to bring people together to reward excellence in education, promote higher standards, empower parents, and protect our taxpayers. I have not been part of the educational bureaucracy for my professional life, but my focus has always been on serving the needs of children. My master's degree and my professional administrative experience has been in pediatric healthcare administration. Simply being a part of the education system is not necessarily an asset in this campaign. For example, look at MPS. For decades, DPI fiddled while MPS figuratively burned, while generations of students have been abandoned in Milwaukee, with taxpayers statewide paying that bill. Some have dismissed me as just a mom on a mission, but I will wear that label as a badge of honor. I am a mom. I am an entrepreneur. I come from a union household. And I own a small business with my union member, firefighting husband, Javier. I am not against unions, and I am certainly not opposed to teachers. Teachers are a fundamental part of our coalition, but I will not be beholden to their union or any other special interest group. My special interests are the school children, the boys and girls growing up in Wisconsin. I am looking forward to campaigning across the state and will continue to listen to the concerns of families, teachers, and administrators who want to improve our public schools. I am proud of my record, and I look forward to continuing to run on our agenda of higher standards without higher taxes. Thank you, and I can take some questions if you'd like.
Rose, you talked today and consistently throughout this about how you're the outsider candidate. You're the only non-professional education. You don't have any education, professional education background. Why should voters consider that an asset? I mean, isn't that like the Packers hiring a coach who's never been to a football game?
We need the perspective from outside the education bureaucracy now. We see what the status quo, the allegiance to the agenda, being mired in the bureaucracy, where that has gotten us. We see the problems that need to be tackled. We need a different approach, and we need an approach that puts children first and foremost always. I will not be beholden to the special interests who control the Department of Public Instruction in many ways currently. I think that the vote on Tuesday shows that mothers and fathers, grandmas and grandpas in Wisconsin share that view. They want our children to come first and our dollars to be directed toward their learning, and that's what I offer here. And I do have significant administrative experience in a very high-paced, high-stakes setting where lives are on the line. I managed a department where the staff that I brought into the trauma room, the care that they provided, the way that they provided that care, had very real outcomes in very real children's lives. And we need to have that perspective, that high standard, those high expectations, and the very clear focus on what matters. And I think that my background is will put us where we need to be as we move forward here.
Given that it's the legislature and the governor that really set the education budget and control education policy, can you give a kind of a concrete example of where you'd be able to shake things up or go against the teachers' union on some issue?
The superintendent of the Department of Public Instruction is not a lawmaking position. It is a position, though, of advocacy. And there are great opportunities to use that position to improve our public education policies and to make good decisions about the way our tax dollars are spent on education. I look at the governor's preliminarily look at what he had to say in his budget the other night, and I think we have much agreement that education does have to be a priority in Wisconsin, and that we have many ways where we can look at opportunities for improvement and work together. I'm all about building the bridges that we need to build. Those who support me in this campaign, I don't know what their politics are. And I think that we all have to remember that the boys and girls of Wisconsin, they are not Democrats. They are not Republicans. They can't even vote yet. Those who work here in this building should keep that in mind. And advocacy for that perspective at the Department of Public Instruction is just what we need now.
Why do you think turnout was only 6% on Tuesday?
Traditionally, the turnout in the spring races are always low, and I think that that was true this year, maybe even more so because of the long campaign cycle that we went through that ended in November. But our message really did get out there. As I said, we had a grassroots campaign that worked with a very small budget, and we were successful in getting the word spread from parent to parent, teacher to teacher, grandparent to grandparent, and I think that we will see our interest grow as this campaign progresses towards April. It will certainly be a very interesting race.
Given the fact that you're a resident of Milwaukee and your concern and focus on MPS, I guess what assurances would you give to districts and children of districts outside Milwaukee, particularly smaller rural districts, that you'll be advocating for them as well?
I actually live in Maguanago, which is in Waukesha County, but I am very concerned about the Milwaukee Public School District because it does impact us statewide. All school districts in Wisconsin are paying the cost for the floundering in Milwaukee. They are paying for it in school costs. They're paying for it in our social program costs in the state, in our court costs, in our corrections budgets. We are all bearing that burden, and we have to get that in hand as each community has to wrestle with their own school budgets in the upcoming years. They are certainly going to need for the attention to be on getting Milwaukee on track as soon as possible, and that serves all of us statewide, let alone the young children who are growing up in the city of Milwaukee and have been ignored by the Department of Public Instruction for way too long. Any other questions at all?
When do you think you'll be able to get on TV?
We are going to be working on fundraising. Certainly, any statewide campaign has to do that. We have been all along, and I believe that our support will be growing as our message gets out and we draw that contrast with the status quo. I think that it's going to resonate, and we'll be working very hard to raise those funds. We will win this campaign. We're going to do it our way, and we'll be using a lot of inexpensive means of communication, too. We have a terrific website, changedpi.com. It has served us very well. I'm an open book there on the issues and have led during the primary on specific information. And we have used social networking tools, and that word of mouth is a very powerful tool.
So do you know when you might have TV ads running, or are you going to have any TV ads?
I think that that'll be part of our plan, but I don't know the specifics of that. We're very early. Election day was just Tuesday.
We are talking with State Superintendent of Public Instruction candidate Tony Evers. Tony, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm just fine. Let's get right to it. Tony, why is it important for the voters of Wisconsin to know that you're the best candidate for DPI superintendent?
Well, the bottom line is public education is so darn important to the state. It's the foundation of our democracy and part and parcel of our economy. So it's important not only to know that I'm the best candidate because I've had 34 years of good public school experience, but also because of the importance of the job. It's a huge leadership job, and it brings people together on important issues. So I believe it's the most important education job in the state, and I'm the candidate that has the leadership experience both in the districts and for the past 8 years as deputy state superintendent.
It seems that DPI is one of those positions, perhaps unlike governor or even lieutenant governor, that we don't think about except every 4 years. How do you explain the role of DPI superintendent to voters?
Well, it is difficult, especially with at least 70 to 80% of our population don't have kids in school anymore. But how I explain it is this. First of all, we have significant regulatory control over schools, whether it's special education, whether it's teacher quality and teacher licensing, and nutrition issues. But the most important part of the job is not the regulatory monitoring sort of thing, but it's providing leadership. And I'll give you an example. A few years ago, we got together with on a regular basis with rural advocates from across the entire state of Wisconsin, State Superintendent Burmaster and myself, and we were able to create a critical mass of people that convinced our legislature and our governor that we needed special categorical aid for rural school districts, especially sparsely populated ones. It's the first time in the state's history we've had separate categorical aid for such a purpose. That's what this job is about. It's bringing people together and also motivating them to work with legislators to make positive change in our schools.
That's an issue that perhaps residents in larger districts like Madison or Milwaukee don't understand, but coming from a rural area myself, I understand how long that's been an issue to the smaller districts. Let's talk about Milwaukee, however. Your candidate has raised the issue of let's call it the dysfunctionality of Milwaukee public schools. I'm wondering, is that an issue only to the citizens of the Milwaukee school district, or is that a larger statewide concern?
It's an absolutely statewide concern. Ability of Milwaukee. It's a commerce center of our state, and it's our largest school district. And things that go wrong in Milwaukee reverberate around the state. So clearly, it's an issue for everybody to be concerned about. And I am in my present role as deputy state superintendent, and also as state superintendent, going to be working very hard with that district to make the changes necessary in order to improve student achievement. It's not going to happen overnight because they severely underperform in a number of areas, but it's something we can work on and make some significant improvements.
What can you perhaps get into some specifics of what needs to happen to improve student performance and the performance of individual schools within the district?
Well, there's several things we can do and that we are doing. A relatively simple one is this. The children of poverty tend to be more mobile during the school year, and the average third grader may go to two or three schools in a single year. That in a rural Wisconsin isn't an issue, but for in urban areas it is. And because Milwaukee is so decentralized, it's possible that the programming, be it reading or math, is going to be significantly different from school to school. And essentially, a third grader that might move two or three times has to start over the school year two or three times because of every single move they make. We have been working with the school board in Milwaukee to change that, and we're making progress. But that's a real simple issue, and it's an instructional issue. We also have to really work also to create more after school academic activities for MPS and their students. We have a great start with programs with the Boys and Girls Clubs in Milwaukee and other nonprofits that provide that after school days care. That we've actually leveraged federal funding for them so that they can continue that program, but we need to expand that. And finally, I believe that we have to make sure that those schools that are underperforming have academically oriented summer school every single year. That is such an issue, especially for children from poverty. They lose so much during the summer. We just can't afford to let that happen.
What do you say to particularly parents, but also educators in some of our other larger urban districts, if you will, Madison, Green Bay, Janesville, Beloit, who look at Milwaukee and worry, is that the future of our district?
Well, I know all those districts, and I feel confident that they're ahead of the curve. It's certainly, as their demographics change and they face more difficulties with academic performance, they can learn from some of the mistakes Milwaukee made. And they're aware of it. Actually, that's one of the good things about No Child Left Behind, even though it's been a difficult law in its totality. But what it did do is point out to school districts exactly where some subgroups, such as children of color, economically disadvantaged children, are how they're doing. And generally speaking, we need to work on that. And so those other districts that you mentioned have been helped by the No Child Left Behind law in pointing that out ahead of time.
And the recession, let's call it that for now. What sort of challenges does that place on funding education in Wisconsin, say, for the next 4 years?
Well, it's going to be significant. The good news is that the governor and legislators seem to be prioritizing public education, but that means essentially status quo, where we won't be getting any additional significant money. So it's going to be challenging to school districts, but they're taking it on. My hope is that the federal stimulus money that we're getting from Washington, D.C. will be used wisely so that we're able to kind of get through these very difficult times get to a better place where we're more economically able to support our schools at higher level.
Could I have you give a quick summary of QEO, explain why that's important and what needs to happen there?
Sure. The QEO is a qualified economic offer that essentially compels school districts and bargaining units to, if they don't reach a settlement, that an arbitrarily determined number is put in place. What it does is it's a wage control on teachers. And from the big picture, what my concern about it is that we need to make sure that we bring our best and brightest to our state and into our schools. And if indeed, and we're slipping, and we've slipped below the national average in wages for teachers, that hurts us. I mean, there's no question that we have to compete for the best and brightest, and we need to make sure that our wages are competitive. Aside from that, just on a purely philosophical level, I'm opposed to the QEO. I think it's unfair to single out one group of workers versus another, and for wage controls. Wage controls didn't work when President Nixon was president, and I'm not sure it works right now. So philosophically, I'm opposed to it. I think that it should be revoked, but I also repealed. But I also believe that it has to be done in a context of a larger discussion of taxes, the arbitration law, bargaining law, health insurance issues. It has to be done in a comprehensive way, because the QEO is such a part of the whole funding system that it's embedded in it. And so we have to, if we're going to be concerned about funding funding formulas and the way our schools operate from a financial aspect, we have to look at all those things together.
My impression covering the legislature for the last several years is that kind of comprehensive discussion of how we fund education in Wisconsin is like the third rail of politics at the legislature. There just seems to be I don't know if fear is too strong a word, but certainly a reluctance to have that kind of all-encompassing discussion. Could you, as DPI superintendent, facilitate that discussion? Could you make that discussion happen? And I'm talking about the sort of discussion on funding education in Wisconsin that would result in some sweeping fundamental changes. Or do we need that sort of sweeping fundamental change in funding?
Well, we have to have that comprehensive discussion, and as state superintendent, I can lead that. It is a third rail. People want to be reelected, so they kind of focus on the here instead of the next 10 years. But we have to do something, because the bottom line, I spent a good part of my career the last couple of years working with school districts in Florence and Wausaukee that voted to dissolve because they had no money, and we went up there and held our public hearings, and it wasn't malarkey. They truly were broke, and the opportunities afforded those kids have to be the same as that are afforded kids in Middleton and any other place in the state. So if we don't approach it in a comprehensive way, we will never leave a legacy of sustainability and a solid funding system for our kids. And the time is now. That's why I believe, even in these horrible economic times, it's a perfect time to do it. There's no money on the table. There's no scraps to be fighting over. Let's get together with legislators and the interest groups and parents across the state of Wisconsin and make some solid recommendations for some fundamental changes.
Tony Evers, candidate for State Superintendent of Public Instruction, thanks very much.
Thanks for being here.